Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada. Jai Om Vishnupad
Paramahamsa Parvacharya Portantella Shiva, His Divine Grace Abhaya Chavanada Vakabananda
Gosami Srila Prabhupada Gijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Gijai Nandakoti Vaishnava Vrinda Gijai Namacharya Shakridas Thakur Gijaya Prem Se Goho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shidwaita Gadana Shivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gijaya Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopagopinath Shyam Kunda Radhakunda Gidi Govardhan Gijaya Vrindavanam Gijaya Maturanam Gijaya Jagannathaswami Gijaya Yamunamai Gajai, Shivadi Dalasa Devi Gajai, Samaveda Bhakta Vrindi Gajai, Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious the assembled devotees, all glorious to the assembled devotees, all glorious to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Gajai, the Mahom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale, Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarani. So, good to see everybody this evening. And if you can't guess where I am tonight, I am in Tirumala. Yes, I'm in Tirumala. Tirumala is actually the city or the town that's at the bottom of the hill, and the hill is the Tirupati Hill. So, I don't know if you see the arrow here, but this is Tirupati is up there, and this is our ISKCON temple in the foreground. Of course, I'm in the foreground, but right in the back foreground, the temple you see here, is ISKCON's temple in Tirumala, and it's a beautiful temple. You can see a little bit more of it now. Very, very beautiful temple, and they have the deities of Radha Govinda and the Astasakis here. And it's an amazing, amazing, amazing temple, and it's right at the foot of the Tirumala Hills. If you walk about, let's see, about a 5-minute walk, you'll get to the main bus stop, which is pretty close to here. And from that bus stop, you can actually take a bus that goes all the way up the hill, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, all the way to the top, to Tirupati. And in Tirupati, you have the deities of Radha. No, I'm thinking of Radharani all the time. Sorry, you got Radharani on my mind. So you got the deities of Palaji and Sri and Boo. Boo means Boo Devi, and Sri is Lakshmi. And that's what you have there. And also there's a Varaha temple. Many other temples on the top of the hill. Takes several hours to walk up the hill. And the forests surrounding Tirupati, or at least on the way up, are full of wild animals. There's tigers there. And also it's a wild animal sometimes. People get eaten by a tiger on the way up. And there's a beautiful deer park halfway up. And we've walked up there before. Generally, we do take a taxi going up. But we've walked up before, and there's something very special. Now, these seven hills, and you see three of the hills right here, are considered to be part of the spine, like the chakras, on the spine of Lord Vishnu. The Tirumala Hills are considered to be Lord Vishnu's spine. And so when great devotees like Sripad Ramanujacharya walked up Sibology, he refused to walk on his feet. So how can you walk and not walk on your feet? And of course, he didn't take a taxi up because they didn't have taxis at that particular point. He walked up on his knees. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? He walked up on his knees. And to this day, when you're walking up the hill, and it's quite a long walk and it's quite a strenuous walk, you'll see great sadhus who are walking up the hill on their knees. They actually tie the feet to the back of their legs. So the only thing they can use is the knees, and then they walk up on the knees. Pretty interesting, pretty intense, to say the least. So, with that in mind, we're going to go on to the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and we're going to try to finish at 6 o'clock, because I have to drive back to the temple tonight, and there's supposed to be a snowstorm. And normally I'd be spending the night here. This is my apartment or my flat at the university. But because there's a snowstorm and ice storm tonight, I should get back early before the snow and the ice get on the road. So we're going to finish by 6, hopefully. So Om Ganat Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shlakeya Chakshur Unmeditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorancia. So, let's go on. Hold on a second. So I'll make sure everything here is done nicely. So, let's share the screen. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrinda Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhaktivrinda. So we're still hearing from Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as he explains the sweetness of Krishna to Sanatan Goswami in Varanasi. So we're on text 51 of the 21st chapter of the Majjhalila of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Tasya pare paravyoma tripad vibhuta tripad bhutam sanatanam amritam shashvatam nityam anantam paramam padam. Beyond the river of Viraja is the spiritual nature, which is indestructible, eternal, inexhaustible, and unlimited. There's the supreme abode consisting of 3/4 of the Lord's opulences. Let me turn my phone off so no one can text me. It is known as Pada Vyoma, the spiritual sky. So again, to reiterate what I mentioned last night, is the Viraja River is not just an ordinary river with just like regular water in it. The Viraja River is called the causal ocean. What that means, basically, it's a very subtle ocean. What that means, on one side of the Viraja River, you have material cause and effect. Everything in this material world has a cause. Every effect has a cause. Nothing is causeless. Just like the scientists sometimes talk about how in the beginning there was a big bang or a big explosion. But they don't explain what caused that explosion. But materially, something must have caused that explosion. Because you're dealing in the world of cause and effect. If you have an effect, you can understand somewhat of the cause by examining the effect. I mean, for example, We are all persons, right? Yes, no. And therefore, the source of ourselves, like the Aham Sarvasya Prabhu, today, the source is Krishna. He must be a person, but a limited person. He must be an unlimited person. So whatever we have, God has to an unlimited degree. It's not that we have something and God doesn't have it. Whenever you have an emanation, the source of that emanation must have at least what the emanation has, if not more. It can't have less. So the emanation, or at least the part and parcel of Krishna, consists of the living entities, emanations, consists of the living entities such as us, and we are individual with personalities. So the Lord must be an individual with personalities, or else he is less than us, and he couldn't emanate us. Got it? So anyway, the river of Viraja is the demarcation between the spiritual world and the material world. In the spiritual world, there is no material cause to anything. The only cause in the spiritual world is bhakti, or love. The love the Supreme Lord has for us is parts and parcels, and the love the parts and parcels have for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that spiritual world is three quarters of the Lord's creation. Now guess what the one quarter is? That's the material universe, or to be more precise, the material universes. Para Vyoma means the transcendental sky. Para Vyoma. Like there's this demon in Krishna's pastimes named Vyoma Asura. And Vyoma means sky. Vyoma Asura, or Vyoma Asura for short, means the demon who flew in the sky. And he was able to imprison the coward boys. So, that wasn't Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma imprisoned the coward boys and the calves. That was a different thing, but he's not a demon. But there was another demon who flew in the sky, and that was Vyoma Asura. So Paravyoma means the spiritual world. Paravyoma, transcendental, above the sky. Another translation of that is above the sky. Or in other words, the spiritual sky. Teaching a little Sanskrit here. In the spiritual sky there is neither anxiety nor fear. Let me unpack that a little bit. There's spiritual anxiety, but not anxiety as to one's maintenance or one's wealth or one's family. The anxiety is separation from Krishna. In the spiritual world, sometimes you have a little separation from Krishna, and you don't really have demons, but there may be a little rumor about demons. And so there's spiritual anxiety. And there's fear of being separated from Krishna. But there's no fear, like I'm afraid now, it's going to be ice storm tonight. And how will I drive with an ice storm? Will the electricity be there? What if there's no electricity? We will freeze. That's fear. So I'm in anxiety and fearful. Not really, but I'm just giving an example how one could be in anxiety and one could be fearful. But in the spiritual world, you don't worry about us. No need of electricity. Natad basyate suryo. Nasa shanko napavaka yatgatwa nivartante tatama paramamama. In the spiritual world, there's no need of sunlight, moonlight, nor electricidad. I know that's Spanish for electricity. So, it's three-quarters of the world, the Lord's energy. The material world is an exhibition of only one-fourth of the Lord's energy. Therefore, it is called Eka Pad Vibhuti. Let me translate that. Eka means one, pad sometimes means feet, but, part of the Lord's transcendental opulence is Vibhuti means his opulences, or his energies. Basically, opulences, because there's a chapter in the Bhagavad Gita entitled Vimutti Yoga, and that's the 10th chapter, which describes some of the material opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, Ekapad Vibhuti. Okay, so that's next one. Taratale Vayavasa Virajara Pada Ananda Brahmanda Yahan Kotara Apara. On the other side of the river Viraja is the eternal or external abode. That's where we are, external, outside, which is full of unlimited universes, each containing unlimited atmospheres. So that's the material world. Unlimited universes that came from the Mahavishnu's body as little bubbles, and they expanded, and there's unlimited planets within each and every universe. And there's also black holes, and there's also invisible energy, dark energy, dark matter. Devi Dama Namatara Jiva Yaravasi Jagalakshmi Raki Rake Yahan Mayatasi. The abode of the external energy is called Devi Dama, and its inhabitants are the conditioned souls. That's us. It is their condition means that we're identifying with the bodies here, conditioned by illusion, thinking that I am American, I am white, I'm black, I'm male, I'm female, I'm Indian. That's conditioned, that I like certain types of food, I like ice cream, or I like pizza, or something like that. It is there that the material energy Durga resides with many opulent maidservants. So the material energy is personified as Durga. And as we mentioned many times before, Durga means what? Difficulty. Sometimes bad. Ga means to go or to move. So Durga means to move with great difficulty, like prison house. And Durga is the warden of the prison house, known as the material world. So someone asked me a question the other day, why so few Hare Krishna devotees in the material world? The answer is, why so few honest people in the prison? Same thing. Very few honest people in the prison. Because he wants to enjoy the material energy, the conditioned soul, that's us, is allowed to reside in Devi Dama, that's where we are. Devi Dama means the abode of Durga. Durga is Devi. Devi means goddess. The external energy where goddess Durga carries out the orders of the Supreme Lord as his maidservant. Material energy is called Jagalakshmi because she protects the bewildered, conditioned souls. She's our mother. Goddess Durga is therefore known as the material mother, and Lord Shiva, her husband, is known as the material father. That's why people worship the Shiva Linga. And Lord Shiva is our material father because he came out as the glance of the Mahavishnu. Remember we talked about that? Mahavishnu, when he creates the material universes, he looks at them with his glance, and because he can do anything with any part of his body, he can impregnate with his eyes, and that glance that impregnates the living entities who were formerly within his body become personified. The glance is actually containing all the living entities, and that glance is personified as Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva is our father, and because he puts us in the material energy, which is like the womb of the material energy, Durga is considered to be our mother. So it's very much connected to the conjugation between men and women in this world, or between opposite sexes. The goddess Durga is so named because this mature world is like a big fort where the conditioned soul is placed under her care. Fort means prison. For material facilities, the conditioned soul tries to please his goddess Durga. And Mother Durga supplies all kinds of material facilities. Because of this, the conditioned souls are allured and do not want to leave the external energy. An example I sometimes give is that many years ago, I was doing preaching in the prison house. I would visit people in the prison house and preach to them about Krishna. And many of them loved it there in the prison house, because some of the prison houses that I was visiting, they were actually minimum security, and they had swimming pools and gymnasiums and all sorts of facility for education, for going to the university without paying for the university, facility for so many things. So why should I leave? It's, you know, everything's taken care of. I get my laundry done, I get food, get everything I need. So I don't want to leave this prison. It's comfortable. You know, sometimes it's a comfortable prison. Sometimes one is under house arrest, that's a comfortable prison. But still, you have to remember, even though you're in a comfortable prison, you're not free. So freedom is much more valuable than comfort in a comfortable prison. Consequently, they are continuously making plans to live here peacefully and happily. So anyway, we're trying to do. I have so many plans for the future. So many houses, cars, and things I will get, and then I will be happy as a lark. Such is the material world. Etina namiraya krishnadishvara goloka paravyoma prakritira para. Krishna is the supreme proprietor of all dhammas, including Goloka Dham, Vaikuntha Dham, and Devi Dham. In other words, Krishna is the boss everywhere. Whether you're talking about the topmost planet in the spiritual world, Goloka Vrindavan, the ordinary planets, Vaikuntha Dham, or the material world. Topmost planet in the spiritual world, sorry. I phrased this wrong. Topmost planet in the spiritual world, which is Goloka Dham. The middle planets in the spiritual world, which are Vaikuntha Dham. And the planets in the material world, which are known as Devi Dham. The Paravyoma, and Paravyoma means the spiritual sky, and Goloka Dham are beyond Devi Dham, this material world. In other words, these three locations, Goloka Vrindavan, then apart from Goloka Vrindavan, you have the other spiritual planets, number two, and then apart from that, you have the material world, which is a place of misery where repeated birth and death take place. Purport, when a living entity is liberated from Devi Dham, that's where we are, but does not know of the opulence of Hari Dham, he is placed in Mahesh Dham, which is between the other two Dhams, you know, in other words, Lord Shiva's abode. The liberated soul does not get an opportunity to serve the Supreme Personality there. Therefore, although this Mahesh Dham is Lord Shiva's Dham and above Devi Dham, it is not the spiritual world. The spiritual world begins with Hari Dhamma, or Vaikuntha Loka. Chichakti Vibhuti Dhamma Tripadashvayan Dhamma Mayaka Vibhuti Ekapada Abhidana. The spiritual world is considered to be three-fourths of the energy and opulence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas the material world is only one-fourth of that energy. That is our understanding. We heard about that before. Hari Dham, that means Hari, means Krishna. Dhamma, abode, Paravyama, transcendental. And Goloka Vrindavan are beyond the material cosmic manifestation. They are celebrated as three-fourths of the Lord's energy. The material world conducted by the Supreme Lord's external energy is called Devi Dhamma, and is a manifestation of one-fourth of his energy. Let me get something to drink. All right, sorry for the break. Tripad vibhuter dharmatvat tripad bhutam itatpadam vibhutir maiki sarva prabda padat mikayataka. Because it consists of three fourths of the Lord's energy, the spiritual world is called tripad bhuta. It means three steps. Energy. Being a manifestation of one-fourth of the Lord's energy, the material world is called Ekapada, one step, or one-fourth. This verse is found in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita 1.5.563, text 57. Tripad vibhuti krishnara vakya agochara ekapada vibhutira shunaha vishthara. The three-fourth part of Lord Krishna's energy is beyond our speaking power. Let us therefore hear elaborately about the remaining one-fourth of his energy. In other words, we're going to hear about the material energy right now, which is where we are. Ananda brahmandera yata brahma rudra gana chira loka pala shabde tahara ganana. Actually, it is very difficult to ascertain the number of universes. Every universe has a separate Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, who are known as permanent governors. Therefore, there is no counting them. Remember, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Lord Vishnu are the guna avatars. Guna means rope, guna means modes of nature. So, Lord Vishnu is the same in every universe. There's no difference. Lord Vishnu is one. But there's a different manifestation of Lord Shiva, and certainly Lord Brahma is a different individual. Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva are called Chiraloka Pala, permanent governors. This means that they govern the affairs of the universe from the beginning of the creation to the end. In the next creation, the same living entities may not be present, but because Brahma and Shiva are existing from the beginning to the end, they are called Chiraloka Pala, permanent governors. Lokapala means predominating deities. There are eight predominating deities of the prominent heavenly planets, and they are Indra, Niyama, Varuna, Niriti, Vayu, Kubera, and Shiva. So these are the eight most prominent demigods. Wow. So why do people worship other demigods? If these are the most prominent, I don't know. You have to ask the people. Ekadina dvarakate Krishna deki bare Ramaila dwarapala Janaila Krishnere. Once when Krishna was ruling in Dwarka, Lord Brahma came to see him, and the doorman, this is an interesting story, immediately informed Lord Krishna of Brahma's arrival. So Lord Brahma came to the door of Dwarka, one of Krishna's, actually the palace probably. Who there? It's Lord Brahma. And so let me tell Krishna that you're here. Here's what happens. Krishna kahina, Krishna said, Kon Brahma, ki nama tahara, dvare asi brahmare puche arabara. Very interesting, humorous statement. When Krishna was so informed, he immediately asked the doorman, which Brahma? What's his name? The doorman therefore returned and questioned Lord Brahma. Now remember, Lord Brahma is thinking, you know, I'm the head of the whole universe, the boss of everything. Krishna should have at least reminded or remembered me from the time when I stole all the coward boys and calves. You know, I'm the big guy in the block in the universe. So imagine Krishna saying, Krishna's in the universe, in this particular universe, this is in every universe, and he says, which Brahma are you? Huh? Which Brahma am I? That's pretty amazing. From this verse, we can understand that Brahma is the name of the post, and the person occupying the post has a particular name also. In other words, Brahma means the greatest. He's the greatest guy who's a jiva soul, usually. And if there's no Brahma as a jiva soul to take over, then Krishna personally takes over. But in this particular case, it's a jiva soul. And so it's a post. It's like president, prime minister, vice president, senator. These are all posts. They're not personal names. That's interesting. And so anybody can take that post. So Krishna is saying, you know, which one are you in? Which universe are you from? Even though Krishna was within our universe. From the Bhagavad Gita, Imam Vivasvate Yogam, Bhagavad Gita 4.1. Vivaswan is the name of the present predominating deity, the sun. He is generally called Surya, the sun god. But he also has his own particular name. The governor of the state is generally called Rajapala, the king. But since he also has his own individual name, since there are hundreds and thousands of Brahmas with different names, Krishna wanted to know which of them had come to see him. So when it says there are hundreds of thousands of Brahmas with different names, referring to each and every universe has a different Brahma, and he has a different name. And the universe is different, and he has a different number of heads. Okay, and we're going to hear about this. Vismitakana Brahma, Twadike Kahila, Kahagya Sinakapita, Chaturmukha Aila. When the doorman asked, which Brahma? What Brahma? What surprise? You know, what is he talking about? He told the doorman, please go inform Lord Krishna that I am the four-headed Brahma, who is the father of the four Kumaras. Why doesn't Krishna know who I am? That's ridiculous. That's what he's thinking. Krishna janana vari brahma re lanagela Krishna ra charane brahma dandavat koila. The doorman then informed Lord Krishna of Lord Brahma's description, and Lord Krishna gave him permission to enter. The doorman escorted Lord Brahma in, and as soon as Brahma saw Lord Krishna, he offered obeisances at his lotus feet. Okay. Krishna manya puja kari tanre pashna kaila. He's asking a question of Krishna. Ki lagi tumara ihan. Agamana Huila. After being worshipped by Lord Brahma, Lord Krishna also honored him with suitable words. When Lord Krishna asked him, why did he come here? Brahma, Kahi, that was Brahma said, Taha pache kariva nivedana, ega samshaya manehaya karaha chedana. Being questioned, Lord Brahma immediately replied, imagine saying this to God, later I shall tell you why I've come. First of all, there's a doubt in my mind which I wish you would kindly dissipate. Kom Brahma, uchile tumi, konavi praye, amavayi jadateyara, kom Brahma, hoye. Why did you inquire which Brahma had come to see you? What's the purpose of such an inquiry? Is there any other Brahma besides me in this universe? Shuni hasi Krishna tabe hari lena dhyane sankhya brahma radhana ayana tatakshine. Upon hearing this, Sri Krishna smiled and immediately meditated. Unlimited Brahmas arrived instantly from different universes. So Krishna was also present in different universes simultaneously. Dasha, Bisha, Shata, Sahasra, Ayuta, Lakshavadana, Kautira, Vuravu, Kakaro, Nayaya, Gandana. These Brahmas had different numbers of heads. Some had 10 heads, some 20, some 100, some 1,000, some 10,000, some 100,000, some 10 million, others 100 million. No one could count the number of faces they had. So one may say, how is this possible? Where's they going to put up all those heads? 4 I can understand, but you know, 8's a little more difficult, 16's a little more difficult, 20's more difficult, 100 can't understand, let's speak of 1,000, 10,000, 100 million. You have to understand there's different dimensional space, and it's not that Brahma has a gross body, a Pancha Mahabhuta. It's something completely subtle beyond the realm of our being able to understand at present. But just like a computer, here's the example I use sometimes. A computer may have one processor, two processors, three processors, or a supercomputer may have 1,000 processors. So it depends on how much complexity there is in the universe. Because he's the computer for the whole universe. That's one way to look at it. Rujagana laksha koti vadana. No one can count the number of faces they have. Phew. Rujagana laksha koti vadana. Indragana laksha koti narayana. There also arrived many Lord Shivas with various heads numbering 100,000 and 10 million. Many Indras arrived and they had hundreds of thousands of eyes all over their bodies. I'm not going to describe why Indra has eyes on his body. It's quite embarrassing. I guess, Prabhupada explains it. It is said that Indra, the king of heaven, is very lusty. Once he had sexual intercourse with the wife of a great sage, and when the sage, that was Gautama Maharishi, learned about this, he cursed lusty Indra with a curse that put vaginas all over his body, being very much ashamed. Indra fell down at the lotus feet of the great sage and begged his pardon. Being compassionate, the sage turned the vaginas into eyes. Therefore, Indra possesses hundreds of thousands of eyes all over his body, just as Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, have many faces, the king of heaven. Indra has many eyes. In other words, his whole body is covered with eyes. Quite embarrassing. Deki chaturmukha brahma pomburaha ila hastigana majayena shashakara ila. When the four-headed Brahma of this universe saw all these opulences of Krishna, he became very much bewildered and considered himself a rabbit among many elephants. In other words, very insignificant compared to all the other Brahmas, because our Lord Brahma only has four heads. Asi sabha brahma krishna pada tipita ge dandavat karite mukuta pada pite lage. All the Brahmas who came to see Krishna offered their respects at his lotus feet, and when they did this, their helmets touched his lotus feet. Krishnara chincha shakti akite keha nare yata brahma tata moti eka ishare. No one can estimate the inconceivable potency of Krishna. All the Brahmas who were there were resting in the one body of Krishna. Hara pita mukutagra sankhate yute dhvane pada pite stuti kare mukuta hena jani. When all the helmets struck together at Krishna's lotus feet, there was a tumultuous sound. It appeared that the helmets themselves were offering prayers unto Krishna's lotus feet. Wow. Yoda hate brahma rudrari kariye stavana bada kripa karila prabhu dekhaira charana. With folded hands, all the Brahmas and Shivas began offering prayers unto Lord Krishna, saying, O Lord, you have shown me a great favor. I have been able to see your lotus feet. Bhagyamore pulaila dasangi kahi konabda khayataha karishire dhari. All of them then said, it is my great fortune, Lord, that you have called me, thinking of me as your servant. Now let me know what your order is so that I may carry it on my heads. Krishna kahi tomasava dekite chita huila dahalagi ekatani sava bolaila. Lord Krishna replied, since I wanted to see all of you together, I have called all of you here. Sukiyao sabe kichunahi daichaboya. Parakahi tumara prasade savatra I jaya. All of you should be happy. Is there any fear from the demons? They replied, by your mercy, we are victorious everywhere. Samprati priti vitte yeva hayachila vara avatirna hanata karila sanghara. Whatever burden was upon the earth, you have taken away by descending to that planet. So in other words, in each and every universe, Krishna was descending to the earth planet and taking away the burden. Or descending to whatever planet had the burden at that particular point. Varakari vibhu taraheta pramana amarahi pramande Krishna sabarahila gana. This is the proof of Dwarka's opulence. All the Brahmanas thought, Krishna is now staying in my jurisdiction. Wow. This Dwarka is transcendental. It's beyond the material world, although it manifests within each and every universe. So, but each Brahmana thought, Dwarka is within my universe. Krishna is within my universe. And actually, Krishna is transcendental. He never even touches the material energy. And in one sense, he manifests himself inside the universe, but he's not within the universe. So, let us go. Today we did 51 to 78. And then we will do what? We're going to take questions. I'm going to stop sharing. Stop forcing you all to mute yourselves, and now we are going to allow you to ask questions. Okay, who wants to ask questions? Whoops.
Hare Krishna, Guru.
Hare Krishna. Hrishikesh.
Yes, so what's up? Yes, Gurudev. I just had a question about this Indra, you know. These are devas, they are supposed to be, you know, very religious, you know. They know the religious principles. But they apparently just act certainly contradictory to what the religious principles say. I mean, you know, having this illicit relationship with other women, even though you have such a beautiful wife. I mean, it's very bewildering. How is it they are still called devas?
Because they are Sakama devotees. They have some material desires to fulfill. I mean, they're not pure devotees. Most of them are not pure devotees. They have some desire, so there's every chance of falling down. And Krishna puts them in that position. Generally, this is the case, and there are exceptions to this, but they're in that position because they have material desires. They want to control, and they also want to be devotees. And because they have material desires, they can succumb to illusion. And Indra, in particular, is renowned for falling into illusion, especially with ladies. It just happens, you know, someone may be a devotee, but not a pure devotee, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, someone may be a devotee and not a pure devotee, and they fall down. I mean, we see people join the Krishna conscious movement and they fall down sometimes, right?
That is true, yeah.
So if someone has some desire, they get too much opulence. Another point is that one of the causes of anarthas, according to Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur, is the byproducts of bhakti. So one may be performing devotional service and get a big position, and then you begin to think that you are that position, and then you can get away with any damn thing. You get bewildered by that particular position and opulence.
Yeah, it happens. Yes, Gurudev, that's true.
Yeah, we've seen it happen with so many devotees, what to speak of Indra. And Indra has much more opulences than you and I have. I mean, Indra doesn't drive around in a Tesla. You know, he has better cars than that.
<He's in> That is true.
And Indra, for his entertainment, has all these apsaras dancing for him. I mean, it's definitely going to be a little disturbing when you have all these apsaras dancing for you every night. Thank God, I don't have any apsaras dancing for me. Mainly, I have devotees who can't carry a tune. So, I have devotees who can't play the drum properly and can't carry a tune. So, it's the opposite of apsaras. So, anyway, little humor there. Okay, Gopal Dasa Dasa Anudasa Dasa 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 Anudasa. You have something to say?
Thank you, Gurudev. So, Prabhupada says all throughout the books that bhakti burns up the seeds of desire, not just the reactions, but even the seeds of desire. And the demigods, I mean, they do incredible amounts of service. Practically speaking, all the facility we have at any temples, any programs, our voices being able to chant, our minds being able to remember, everything, the demigods are assisting us. So they're doing immense amount of service. And yet, how is it that their seeds of desire are not being burned up?
How do you judge the amount of service?
By how much it's pleasing Krishna?
And how do you judge, I'm going to go through a series of questions, how much do you judge how much is pleasing to Krishna?
Well, at my level, I think I just depend on what my spiritual master tells me.
No, but how do, I know. But let's say I tell you to do something. Okay, let's say I tell you and someone else to do the same thing, and you both do the same thing exactly in the same way. So, who has done a higher level of service?
Well, I suppose from what I've heard, whoever is internally
doing it
with the best attitude.
Yeah, so that what determines the amount of service, you know, the quantity of service or the purity of the service is the attitude of the person doing it. Just like you had that devotee who offered to Krishna a banana peel with love, and that was topmost service. And if you offered a banana peel with your consciousness, whew, you'll probably slip on the banana later on. Slip on the banana peel. So it's a question of the mood. You know, I'm serving Krishna because I like to do what I'm doing, and I'm doing it for Krishna, or I'm serving Krishna to please Krishna. And I also like what I'm doing, but because, you know, we have to serve Krishna according to our psychophysical nature, but my whole mood is to please Krishna and my spiritual master. Just like I may be leading kirtan, but I may be just like enjoying being the leader. And someone else may be leading kirtan and maybe just chanting for the pleasure of Krishna. Someone may be dancing in front of the deities. And one person is dancing because, you know, they just like to dance. And another person is dancing because they want to give pleasure to Krishna. So who's doing the most service? So there is, you know, sat-kama bhakti, or karma-misra bhakti, to be more precise. Karma Misra Bhakti means I'm doing my devotional service because it's mixed with a desire for fruit of gain. And Jnana Misra Bhakti means I'm doing my devotional service to get liberated. So, yeah, there's different motives. And the purity of devotional service is depending upon the motive.
So, how does one become more pure if the motive is not pure?
How does one become more pure? You actually focus the mind on pleasing Krishna and his representative. You realize you're introspective. The first step, I was explaining this to a devotee today, the first step is to be introspective enough to understand that you are not pure. As long as you are thinking you're pure and your motive is pure, you're in trouble. So the first step in achieving purity is the introspection and the humility, and the ability to say, you know, I'm just really impure, you know, phew. So that's the first step. Being able to admit, being open enough, being vulnerable enough to admit. But most people, most devotees, are not vulnerable or open enough to admit, even to themselves or what to speak of their spiritual master. And that's a tremendous step. I mean, anybody could say, you know, oh, I'm a materialistic rascal. You know, that's cool. It makes you, actually it makes people admire you more. The more you tell people you're a materialistic rascal, the more they'll think, you know, boy, he's really cool and humble. But the more you actually understand it and say it rather than in a rote way, and you cry, you know, you actually should be crying, lamenting that you're a materialistic rascal. And that's simply, I'm a materialistic rascal, full of lust. Oh, Krishna, save me. But if you actually realize that you're a materialistic rascal, you would cry, you would lament, and that's the first stage, lamentation. It's very rare. I only find that happen once in a blue moon, where a devotee will cry. I mean, everyone will say, I'm a materialistic rascal, I'm worthy. I want the dust of your lotus feet, Guru Maharaj. But it's a real devotee who will actually start crying and lamenting and feel bad. Oh my God, how can I be here and I'm so impure in this Krishna conscious movement, I'm unworthy. That's a real devotee. That's the first step. And very few people take that first step. Okay.
Is it because people don't want to take that step?
You're self-accepted. Anyway, so... Because people are just not honest with themselves. They're in denial of their position. And people like to think more of themselves instead of thinking... people like to think more of themselves, and they like to think of themselves more. Both things. That's funny.
Thank you, Gurudev.
Yes, of course, this doesn't refer to you. You are humble. You are more tolerant than a tree. You're devoid of all sense of false prestige. You're ready to offer all respects to others. In such a state of mind, you are chanting the holy name constantly.
I guess 0 out of 4 isn't bad.
Okay, one more question, because it's going to be snowy and icy. Hare Krishna Gurudev, please send my humble obeisance and respectful obeisance. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. How is Lord Shiva post or position? Sometimes Lord Shiva empowers people, just like, that's why, you know, just like Lord Vishnu, or Krishna empowers people, and you have Shaktivesh avatars, so you have Shaktivesh avatars of Lord Shiva too. Does that make sense? So sometimes different manifestations of Lord Shiva are Shaktivesh, or empowered manifestations of Lord Shiva, just like there are empowered manifestations. Just like we say, you know, the Supreme Person, the Supreme Personality of God manifests himself as the spiritual master. And he's given as much respect to the spiritual master because he's a confidential servitor of the Lord. He's the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. Spiritual master is known as the Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead. Okay. I have to have my disciples refer to me like that. Hey, Supreme Personality of Servitor Godhead, Guru Maharaj. Anyway, so, okay, I am going to have to get packed up so I can go back to the temple and take shelter during the ice storm, because it's going to be icy tonight. So everybody who is in North Carolina, please be careful. If you're coming to the temple tomorrow, please be careful. If there's any question of danger, stay home and watch things on the internet. Watch the program on the internet, please. You know, because your safety is very important. We're expecting an ice storm, partially in Raleigh, but more in Hillsboro, and the further west you go, it'll be more and more prominent. Hopefully it doesn't happen. If it doesn't happen, then please come to the temple. But if it does happen, just watch everything online. Okay, on that happy note, all glory to His divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Alrighty.